today is the first deadline for annual meeting voting. So everyone who votes today by 5 p.m. at CholistaVote.com, so this is online only, CholistaVote.com.
Okay.
If you vote by 5 p.m. today, you are entered to win one of seven prizes, and the top prize is $10,000.
Okay.
Plus, you are automatically entered into the other three prize drawings.
Ooh.
The top prize of the next drawing is $10,000. The top prize of the next one after that is $2,500. And the last one for online votes, the top prize is $5,000.
Mm.
There are a total of 24 prizes totaling over $50,000. And if you vote online by 5 p.m. today at CholistaVote.com, you are automatically entered to win all those prizes.
Good.
Wow.
It'll make somebody happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope so, yeah. So if you have your blue proxy form, it was mailed on May 24. On the back of the blue proxy form, it has your name and address, and it also has your PIN. It's five or six letters, so you can vote online at CholistaVote.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to lose it, or, you know, maybe it got fell in the river when you were going fishing, the Inspector of Elections has the voting information. Cholista does not.
Okay.
You can call them at 677-3320.
Okay.
That's 677-3320. Their phone number is also at CholistaVote.com.
Okay.
So you can ask them for your PIN to vote online. And just keep in mind, they're really busy today. There's lots of people that want to win $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't answer right away, they'll call you back as soon as they can.
Okay.
And good luck to everybody.
Yes.
Yes.
And then again, where's the convention or the meeting at now? Shareholders convention or meeting?
In Tuxi? The Cholista annual meeting this year
is
on is in Tuxuk.
Yeah.
Yeah, on July 5, Friday,
okay.
July 5 in Tuxuk.
Okay. Good. Yes, that sounds good. Well, Tom, we thank you for letting us know about all that. That sounds exciting.
Good. Well, good luck to everyone. Bichzik to both of you and bicha to each listener.
Yeah, okay. Kuyana. Thank you.
Bye.
Before our next caller, what are Herman's comments, you know? Can you reply to...
I can talk a little bit about that. Yeah, the sewer dumping is a big concern from everybody that's interested in the conservation of fish or any wildlife resources for that matter. Fish and Wildlife Service doesn't have any jurisdiction over that, but we definitely have a concern. Your best jurisdiction, of course, is the corporations that do that, or maybe the regional corporation. Cholista may be able to help us with that. But that's the biggest concern of that. But we can definitely work with Alaska Department of Fish and Game. They have more of a direct link to that, along with the state regulatory agencies for those things. So that'd be the best source to get that information out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Okay. I think we have John Nick back.
Oh, he's
or
back.
John Nick from Bethel.
Yes, good morning again, John.
Hi, a question here.
Okay, go ahead.
Back to Tom's... online, you know, it sounds like you have to be online to be able to win that $10,000. What about the people that mailed in their proxies before December 7th? He's got to clarify that.
Yeah.
It more sounds like you have to have a computer to be eligible for that. Now, why don't he relate, like, you are eligible as long as you voted before December 7th, whether proxy paper or the computer.
Okay.
You've got to relate two together because it makes it sound like people who have computers can be eligible. We don't have a computer. I don't have a computer.
Can I speak?
But I mailed my proxies early.
Yeah. And then also, John, my wife and I visited the Chalista office here in Bethel the other day.
Yes.
They have several computers in that building that you can vote. Anybody can use them to vote online.
Yeah, but...
So, and then they will help you, you know, people that might not be computer, you know, literate.
It's not that. It's just we're not accessible. A lot of people ain't accessible to a computer, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you mail your proxy in early, you should be eligible. Don't be pinpointing it on online all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Let the people know that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to confuse people and say, oh, heck, I can't win, so I ain't going to vote.
Yeah.
You know, that's attitude. So please clarify that. You are eligible when you vote on proxy paper before December 7th, and you are eligible when you do it online. Mm-hmm. Please put both.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Yes. So, so that convention or
shareholder meeting?
Yeah. It will be in Tuxuk Bay on July 5th, middle of summer,
And if I do understand correctly, maybe Tom can call back and clarify that, but on one of those $10,000 prizes, they can do paper and online. But maybe he can call me back or call us back and let us know what's going on there.
Yeah, a couple of questions there, yeah. So that's going to be exciting, you know, that's the day after 4th of July, you know, somebody's going to win $10,000 at the park this year again, you know, and then another $10,000 the next day in Tuxuk. Is that the time they announce the winners during the convention?
Maybe Tom can clarify us on that, too. How will they announce the winners? Or do you get a phone call, or do you get an email, or do you get a letter, or... He can... Tom Leonard, if you're listening, you can... call back in and clarify
a couple
that.
Of questions, yes. Yeah. In the meantime, you know, we're back to fishing. People, that's what's on everybody's mind, is fishing, you know. And people want to, are listening for announcements, and then they're, you know, sometimes can be kind of a bit confusing. You know, so one caller had said that maybe if you reduced some of those unnecessary, whatever, on the announcements, it can be more, like that. That was a little bit better than the first one. Yeah.
Or do it like, as I prefer, in layman's terms.
Yeah.
You know, just tell it like it is.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of confusion this year, and we've had some challenges, and we're trying to give people more opportunities, so it's created some different challenges for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to try to be as clear as I can. So the next opportunity is on Saturday, June 8th, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's for SetNet only. And it's kind of the same restrictions that as the state has. So just follow those same net guidelines. 60 feet long, bank orientation, attached to the bank within 100 feet. So the next opportunity will be on June 12th, which is on a Wednesday.
Sorry about that. You know, we got a break coming up, station ID break. You know, we're inclined to say that we are listening to KYUK. 6:40 a.m. here in Bethel.
APRN and public radio reporters from across Alaska team up for a statewide half-hour news program. That program? Alaska News Nightly. ANN provides in-depth information on events from every corner of the state and from Washington, D.C. Catch Alaska News Nightly every weekday starting at 5 p.m. on 6:40 a.m. KYUK.
I'm Dustin Madden from Nome, Alaska. Hear the best in music from yesterday and today right here on KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska.
I'm Bob Shear from Bethel Packing and Delivery. Hear the best music from yesterday and today right here on KYUK AM in Bethel, Alaska.
Hi, I am Beverly Tinker from Pilot Station. You are listening to KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska.
Express yourself.
Welcome back, everyone. Yes, we're still trying to get used to this station break. You know, we're just following rules and, you know, the ways upgrading here at KYUK. So we're required to have that every half hour, a station ID break, and then also, so we're still trying to get used to that, you know, and then, but we're back to, this is KYUK's talk line where you, the callers, can call in with whatever's on your mind. And we have Chelista come back to us. Tom, good morning again.
Good, Tom.
Hello again. I was told to call back about the prizes.
Yes.
yes.
Okay. Just to clarify, and this is all in the information that was mailed to shareholders. It's also on our voting website, chelistavote.com.
Okay.
Okay, the first deadline that I talked about this morning is today at 5 p.m. Those are online votes only. The next deadline is June 17, 5 p.m. Those are paper and online votes.
Okay.
And the top prize is $10,000.
Okay, got it.
The third deadline, there are two different types of prizes. The third deadline is July 1 at 5 p.m. If you vote online, the top prize is $5,000.
Okay.
If you vote by paper, the top prize is $2,500.
Okay.
There was also a comment about how not everyone has, like, a smartphone or a computer. And we understand that. But chances are you know somebody that does have, like, an iPhone or a Samsung. About over 60% of shareholders last year voted online.
Wow.
So, like my mom, for example, she's not technical. Louise Machan.
Yeah.
She doesn't do technology, mm-hmm. but she knows that I do, so I helped her out.
Mm-hmm.
We even had an elder come in. He was 85 years old.
Mm.
He came in on the first day of voting and wanted help to vote online.
Wow.
So we sat him down at our computer, and he was able to vote online.
Good.
I have a question, Tom. Are the new shareholder enrollees eligible?
Oh, good question. Yes, the Class C shareholders, our descendants that we are enrolling now, if they are at least 18 years old, as of May 7, then they can vote.
Okay. Good. Wow.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. We have a lot more voters now because of enrollment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the shareholders, when they voted to approve enrollment, they told us that they wanted our descendants to have full dividend rights.
Yeah.
And full voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that for voting, you have to be at least 18. For dividends, you can be any age.
Okay. And for deadline, when you say deadline, does Trelista office need to have the vote or the ballots or whatever? Do the papers need to be at Trelista by 5 p.m. or do they need to be postmarked before 5 p.m.?
Good question. I'm glad you asked. All votes are received by the Inspector of Elections, Ceramic Hightower. They're an accounting firm in Anchorage. They have to have it in their hands or in their computer by the deadline. So, for example, the first paper deadline is June 17.
Mm-hmm.
If you mail it that day, it will not qualify.
Mm.
So the inspector has to have it in their hands by the deadline.
Okay.
Good.
For the computer one, as long as you vote by 5 p.m. today, then you'll be entered.
Good.
All right. That seemed to have...
And you need your PIN to do that.
E, it's on the back of the blue voting form sent to shareholders. It was mailed May 24. If you lost it or it got destroyed, you can call Ceramic Hightower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and that number is six again?
677.
Okay.
3320.
Got it.
Okay.
If you forget that number, it's at trelistavote.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, very good, Tom.
I think
that does it. Yeah. We appreciate you calling back, Tom. You can get back to your...
Tom.
Okay, Kuyana. Okay. I was going to say, you can go back to your fishing. Okay. All right. We have another caller before we let Ren, Alicia join us. We have Susan from Bethel. Good morning to Susan.
Good morning, Susan.
Hello.
Hey.
I was going to ask Ray about... I've lived here since 84, and once in a while you hear something about the sonar fish counter things being set at the wrong angle, and it undercounted the fish all along, so people didn't get the fish they needed due to this undercounting. And I didn't know if he had any comments of that, if that was a fish and game thing or a fish and wildlife thing. And also I wondered if Ray had time to speak about, he invited me to join the YK Steering Committee, which is a wonderful task force dealing with the challenges of climate change and staying aware and ahead of what that may entail out here. So I hope he has time to explain the YK Steering Committee, because he's the one that got me involved with that, and I find it to be a very energetic and rewarding bunch of dialogue going on. Mm-hmm. So the question on sonar, and then maybe he could share about YK Steering Committee. And thanks, and have a good weekend.
Okay.
You too.
Yeah.
Bye.
Go ahead and respond to that briefly, and then because we do have some callers.
Talk about sonar real quickly. It's ran by the state of Alaska, but it does go across the entire river, so it does cover a pretty good count. It's identified as a scientifically identified location. They finally settled on where they're at right now. Mm. So it took a couple of years to find the right place for it.
Is there only one?
Just one sonar, right?
And
Kuskokwim.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a couple on the Yukon, but there's just one on the Kuskokwim.
Yeah. The one on the Kuskokwim is between here and Kuklook, or?
Yeah, it's just right below the island.
Yeah, okay. That site on the left going up. Yeah, I remember.
Yep.
Okay. And then she had another question. But maybe we'll get back to that after. We have Tuluksak calling in. We have
Renee first from Bethel.
Oh, it
good
is.
Good morning, Renee.
Sorry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Thanks for remembering me.
Okay, we nearly over did it.
I'll go as quick as I can. Just an update on the art camps that we've got planned.
Okay.
The Native Art Camp, which runs from June 10th to the 14th, only has two slots open. So you got to jump on that right away. And then Art Camp 1, which is the one that does the dumpsters and the clay and stuff like that, that from June 17th to the 21st has five slots. That's the first art camp. The second art camp, which is June 24th to the 28th, There are 15 slots in that. And those both of those camps are for 12 to 6 to 12-year-olds, and they run from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So if you want to sign up, please call Laura Ellsworth at 543-4515. Please make a note that our next Saturday market is June 29th. And I'm looking for chefs that want to do the Taste of Bethel. That will be in August, but I need to have my chef list before that, the end of August. So call me at 543-4538. And the Kuskokwim Art Guild is looking for artists who want to do a steel salmon or raven. Please stop by the gift shop here at the Cultural Center and talk to Eleanor. And I'm going to get off the air because it sounds like you're pretty busy.
Yeah,
today it is.
We're happy to be busy
right.
Here,
well,
yes. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Renee.
Yeah, always good to have Renee calling because she always have something going on.
Yeah, there's always something going on.
Okay, have a wonderful summer, Renee.
You too, bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay. We also have Noah from Tuliksak.
Good morning, Noah.
Good morning.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
loud and clear. Good morning to you.
Yes. Nowadays, we're living in a modern days that we're having. So I think the fish that they monitor have a radar that satellite can detect where the fish are. And they attack them. I don't know how they really attack them. But all I know, if we catch one, we have to turn what the fish has on its body. Now, there's new things that when I look into, some of it goes through the mouth and then by the tail. And they have certain color that is attached to the fish. Now, if these fishing game and fishing wildlife is hearing this, if that fish don't have any radar or anything that are attacked, they wouldn't have known where the fish are.
Mm.
That's number one. That's technology. Now, the enforcement. When a fish and wildlife is dressed in uniform with a badge and a weapon, is not allowed to park at a certain fish camp to check to see what kind of fish they have or whatever, what gill nets they have in their property. If they park to a fish camp, they're trespassing as well. They ought to know only if they have a proper, like a document showing me that it's proper. Then I'll say, okay, you can run your boat in my property and search my fish to see what I caught and check my net to see what kind of net I have on the ground. There's certain legality that they need to know. If they patrol, they're in the waters, not parking their boat to a certain fish camp. We allow that. They ought to know that. We've got the right to say, you're parking in my property and you're trespassing. Otherwise, if you show me a document, that can lead you to park the boat in my fish camp. Then I'll allow it. That's something else for them to think about.
Okay.
and the people that meet, I know when I went to a meeting where they discuss about the fish and the company surface, Northwest Fishery. Fishing game or fishing wildlife, but they're trying to squeeze in to see what's going on with the fishing, Northwest Fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it had happened or not, but they should look into it thoroughly, because we the people all regulated in our jurisdiction and our sovereign rights. That's, they're breaking those two. I know when they patrol everything, not knowing the jurisdiction and the sovereignty they have.
Okay.
So-called, we the tribal government. We have a constitution, as well as the United States have one.
Okay.
Alaska has one, too.
Okay, Noah.
When I went to Bethel, B-O-H-S, one of the teachers, I won't mention, and let us oversee the United States Constitution in Alaska.
Okay, your time is about up.
And give me a second. There's one word that makes Alaska Constitution weak, and it took me years of researching it. And when I find it, it's fraud. For that reason, they probably deleted all my records under ABCP, in which I was a village public safety officer. I trained.
Okay.
Alaska statutes, EMT, fire department, search and rescue. Thank you for giving me this time.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Noah.
Have a nice day.
Okay, you too. Yes. Yeah. Just a reminder to everyone out there that will call in. You know, we try to keep it down to a minimum, and then so in respect for other callers that may want to call in. So sometimes we do have to stop them or remind them that their time is up, and then normally close to around 5 minutes is what we'd like to allow people to talk to the max.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we have another caller.
We have another Tulaksak.
Oh, good morning,
Dave.
Yes, good morning, Dave.
Yeah, good morning.
Okay.
I'll say something else in.
Okay.
Maybe last year, last year, when we had opening, and we were drifting, when they tell us what the 5-inch or half 5.5 or whatever, or 4-inch, 60 feet, last year I didn't like it there. They were watching every people that were drifting down there in Kuskokwim. They go to their boat or net without the documents. I don't know where they get those documents. If they don't have any of those documents, don't trespass. We got property. Don't trespass. Don't come to my boat. Don't come to my net if you don't have document. Don't trespass in my fish camp. Don't land on it. We got rights too. Village got the bylaws, and we got bylaws. That's all I have to say. Okay. I didn't like it last year. People could go door to door, go to them. There's violators, non-violators. And we don't violate. But violators, I don't know. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for your comment.
Yes, we have a little pause on our callers. You know, maybe time for you to reflect on some of those comments or questions. Oh, we have also Alicia with us today. She's joining us for any...
Let me talk about the concern about the enforcement. We do have a concern with that. And
okay.
All of our officers are trained to ask permission to come aboard your boat or to come onto your fish camp and those sorts of things. So over the last 4 or 5 years, we've gotten very selective on which officers we allow to come up here just because we want to ensure they respect the rights of everybody out here.
Good.
However, our officers... Our law enforcement officers, and their job is to get out there and help us ensure compliance with the things that we agree upon for the best of the fish during the fish season. So their job is also, you know, if they see something that's wrong, part of their job is to do something about that.
Yes.
And they try to do the best job they can.
Mm-hmm.
But we've taken the approach the last several years to actually work on educating everybody, kind of our overall objective.
Yes.
So the officers the last couple of years have actually said, well, this is what you need to do to correct what you got going wrong. Let's just fix it, and then we're good. So we're trying to take that approach. And everybody's doing a great job. I really appreciate everybody working with us and ensuring we're able to have fish for the future generations. So I think that's going really well.
Yes.
I have a question for you. How many officers do you have, and do they rotate?
This year, we don't have very many officers. We're working with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the state troopers. Working together with the state troopers this year to do most of the enforcement.
Mm.
Our officers have been designated to go to the southern border by the presidential direction, so a lot of them have been tasked down to that part of the world right now.
Southern border. First time I heard that one. So
southern border of the United States, down in Mexico.
Right. Oh. Okay, okay.
The border wall protection issue. We were directed by the president.
Okay, now I get it, yeah. It had to sink in for a bit there.
I expand the borders I'm talking about. Sorry,
Alicia,
about
you have a comment?
I guess I can tackle the study on...
Your mic.
The juvenile salmon studies where we did... do some projects and injecting color into the tails, and also a project concluded about 6 to 10 years ago. We concluded that project. So, also, I want to say that we do have ONC subsistence harvesters that are surveying, and they are youth. So, we want to make sure that we be kind to our youth. If you don't want to be a part of the salmon harvest survey, please get a hold of ONC and let them know that if there's any issues with any camp visits that we have within the Bethel area.
Are they bilingual?
Some of them are. Some of them are.
Okay.
Have you had a lot of... is that for children only? That ONC project?
No.
It's for anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that $5 a fish?
Or
that?
Yeah, well, for the ASL, the $5 a fish is actually, they're having a training session on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And it's $5 for every king salmon that you collect, and they'll teach you how to collect ASL samples.
Wow, that's it's good in both ways. You
yes,
know.
Yes.
Good for learning how to catch fish and for getting them involved.
Mm-hmm. That's good. We're going to pause for an email there. Atmak, do we have one? Go ahead, if you don't mind.
We do have an email from the city of Joachbalik saying that they do not let their sewage lagoon get dumped into the Kuskokwim River like Kalskag. And they don't, this person does not know why there's so much complaint on the show, which people can be grateful for the life they have. I know I would love to complain about a lot of things, but that will only make me feel so miserable that I can't appreciate anything. And she thanks God for all the abundance and blessings that we do not see. And she reminds, or this person reminds everyone to please make sure to wear your personal flotation jackets while out boating.
Very good points, Very good. Anyway, I think we had a caller from Kasigluk. We have...
Stan. Good morning,
good
Stan.
Good morning to Stan.
Good morning, Lillian, Peter, and Mr. Bourne.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful day.
Yes.
We're getting ready to launch to fish camp today.
Wow.
And it's been like I've been more and more reluctant to go because I fish for a big family, like four or five different families. And with this limited opening, it's pretty much impossible to get what we need and dry them properly before we head home.
Mm-hmm.
But one issue I'd like to bring up, pollock fishermen. I know the state doesn't control them. The federal doesn't control them. They have their own fishery commission.
Okay.
And they have an incidental bycatch number, a limit for kings. No, so I forgot the exact number, but it's whenever you reach that incidental bycatch number, they close down for some time every year. But the red salmon, chums, and silver, even halibut, they don't have numbers, actual numbers, but in metric tons, that's their incidental bycatch number. So a king salmon spawns upriver in the Kasukun tributaries, swims downriver, spends like what, up to 7 years out in the Bering Sea, growing. And those 7 years, for 7 years, they dodge a bullet out there. And if they dodged it, some of them return. Why can't they have more restrictions like us? Like shut them down for, what, 5 years, see what happens? We went through a moratorium for moose. We followed it, the restrictions and all, and the moose population popped back up.
Mm-hmm. Express yourself. Oh, yeah, see, hold your thoughts for a bit there. excuse me, it's time for another station break here. So don't hang up, you know, but think about what you're going to say next. So, yeah, yeah, just two minutes we have, you know.
Okay.
Long music set that swings from one end of the guitar spectrum to the other. Songs range from hard rock to classic ballads. Guitar Pendulum, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 to 8 p.m. on 640 a.m.
Waka nalika wa gwin hakmi munga. Nituk nituk KYUK mak 640 a.m. Mami mani mam tril shrami. KYUK nituk nisuti kumas khoktuk. You in a corner, chip a sugo, a dragon.
Hi, I'm Ben from Anchorage. The best public radio for the Kuskokwim Delta is found right here on KYUK 640 in Bethel, Alaska.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself!
Whatever you do,
We were
with Stan. I hope he held on. Yeah. Are you still hanging on there, Stan?
Yes, still here.
Okay, we're very sorry about that station break. We got to get used to these breaks, you know, because us two, we start talking about something else.
But we have to follow rules.
Yeah, we have to go by these new things that are going on with our radio station here, too. So go ahead, Stan. Continue, and then you have a couple of minutes.
Those trawlers, they created their own fish commission called through Magnuson-Stephen Act. They created their own fish commission, so the state can't control them, or the Fed or Fish and Wildlife can't control them. But they have influence. But Dan Sullivan's aware of this, and he brought it up. I heard it in the news at one time. But yeah, we're being restricted too much, and when we go fish camp, we have limited resource. We don't have a freezer down there, so we bring whatever we need to cook, like moose meat and birds. And we ran out of duck buck last year, and I wanted to go down and sit and just to catch one fish for lunch. And my mom said, no, it's closed. But, yeah, that's a pretty sad scene right there.
Yeah.
And most of the trawlers are not from the state of Alaska. They're from Washington State. One family invested in five trawlers, and they have their own factory to process the pollock they catch. So,
we're
not being benefited by any of their fishing activities. Okay, Guiana.
All right, thank you very much, Stan.
Good morning, and thanks.
He's got a very good point there about, you know, they don't want to go down to fish camp because they can't fish to feed themselves while they're getting their fish camp ready or, you know, waiting around for next opener. So, but hold that thought if you don't mind. You know, we're going to respond to our caller next from Quixtook.
Yay, from Quixtook.
Good morning, Anonymous.
Yeah, good morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a couple of comments.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys should stop taking breaks because we have only 90 minutes.
I agree,
People have comments, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Okay,
we
very good.
Yes,
that's a point well taken. We'll bring that up with the management and see if we could either reduce or... But they are FCC regulations, and we can't ignore them. We can shorten it. I don't know.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We do have an email.
Okay.
This one is from Tracy Horn. She says, good morning, listeners. Last month, the City of Bethel Planning Commission had to pass the condition use permit of the proposed liquor license to AC because the proposed building met all land requirements to obtain a liquor license. The City of Bethel is holding a regular City Council meeting for AC's proposal to operate the liquor store. I'm encouraging all listeners who are for or against AC to have another liquor store in Bethel to attend the meeting on June 11 at 6:30 p.m. Again, that's June 11 at 6:30 p.m. is when the Bethel City Council will meet. Comments can also be mailed to the Bethel City Council at P.O. Box 1388, Bethel, Alaska, 99559. Again, Bethel City Council at P.O. Box 1388, here in Bethel, 99559. Or you can email it to cityclerk@cityofbethel.net. cityclerk@cityofbethel.net. We've all seen how the first liquor store was operated. If you're against the liquor store, please come and share your concerns. And we thank Tracy Horn for that email.
Yes, a lot of people are concerned about that. Been talking about it every talk show just about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We hear somebody have you know, concern about that. So, yes, that's good information.
So June 11th, voice your concerns.
We got a little pause here between callers. So any one of you have something that you were holding your thought on?
Oh, a couple of things that just popped. I just got a text. We have a fire out here. So if anybody sees any fires, please give us a call. We'll send somebody out to take a look at that and deal with that. This may be a big fire season for us.
Yeah.
It seems to be my experience. I want to talk about the pollock fishery just a little bit. He's right. It's controlled by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council oversees that, but it's ran by NOAA. Mm-hmm. So they kind of control that and manage that. And the fisheries, the pollock fisheries, has really been good about saying this is the limit of bycatch for kings, and they shut down. They have a real big incentive to not catch their bycatch, because once that happens, they quit making money. Mm-hmm. So it's a commercial interest to them. So they've been really good about doing that. So we are concerned with that. We pay attention to it. And I think they've heard the voice of the people. You know, they've been very cognizant of doing the right thing. And they've done some techniques now that allow salmon to get out of the nets so they don't catch them in bycatch. It's not 100%. The pollock fishery historically catches about 3% of the king salmon before they come into the Kuskokwim. The people on the Kuskokwim harvest about 95% of that king salmon that is harvested. So there's a lot of that. Another 1 or 2% goes to some sport fishing, but that's been shut down again this year by ADF&G. So we have a lot of fish for people to use for their own livelihood here.
Excuse me, do you know if there's patrolling out there, if anyone patrols out there?
So all the commercial fisheries and the pollock fisheries have an observer on board that actually counts the fish that they catch.
So that's their job to observe.
That's their job. Although that's a very lonely job. If you're the only guy on the boat that's counting the fish for enforcement, you have to be very careful what you do and how you do that. We use some technology on some of the boats. We use cameras and things like that to record it as well. So but every boat now has a monitor on it looking specifically at bycatch and cans and things like that. So
I didn't know that.
I could just lose a lot. Well, there it is. Howard's back.
Okay, all right,
Talk about fish for dinner when you're at fish camp. Mm-hmm. We heard everybody's voices last year, and we actually said, well, let's find out ways we can provide opportunities. So this year, we provide an opportunity throughout the season. You know, you can use a dip net or a rod and reel, fish seines, you know, some other methods where you can catch a couple of fish for dinner. Anytime throughout the season. So that's kind of something new this year to give, and I heard that concern last year, so trying to address that. Thanks.
Now, you know, a lot of people are not used to the beach chain thing, you know.
I had a question about that.
Yes, what is beach chaining?
I've never seen anyone do that. I only saw it on TV, I think.
Yeah, probably.
So beach chain basically is a net with a stick on either end. You stick one stick, you know, up river, walk the other side out, and then back down to the shore, and then back up, and make a little purse seine, kind of, and you draw in all the fish.
Kind of like a little corral.
Like a little corral, yeah. Things we've seen.
And then, does it have to be a certain mesh, or, I mean, how are they?
It's not limited. You know, you can choose what mesh size you make. Same thing with the dip nets. You know, if you have a real small mesh, you catch everything. If you have a little bigger mesh, you only catch the bigger fish.
And how far out can you go? Or how long of a net can you have?
I don't know if there's a limit on that, but, you know, a realistic limit is probably not more than 60 or 70 feet, because that once the net gets much bigger than that, and especially in a river, it's really hard to control it.
Yeah.
And do you walk it out, or can you do it from a boat, too?
I know, listen. You're nodding your head.
So what you can do is you can have one person on land, then you can have the other person in the boat, and the boat can make a big bowling like a U.
Uh-huh.
And then as the person comes in, the boat comes back to the land and hands it off, and then they both pull it in on each side.
Wow. Uh-huh. I haven't seen anybody doing that.
I've never seen anyone do that either.
We've done it down in Hooper Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm thinking about, you know, like near the beach, a lot of debris and willows, you know, in the water. And there's probably only a few select places I can think of along this area where you can probably safely do that.
And whenever I hear seine, I think of all those big giant ships, like that movie where they catch crabs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Those big giant thingies, big giant nets.
Yes. Yeah, they're called big purse seines, is what those are. But but the beach seines is used for local, you know, people who catch that little bit of fish for dinner, I guess.
You know, that deserves to be. Let's talk about that more. I mean, you know, I'd like to see it, you know, I mean, how it will work around here. You know, because in the movies or like even in the Bible, you know, it shows about how they fish, they threw.
Yeah, like in Hawaii too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, in Hawaii. Yeah. That's called a cast net. We don't see that used up here very much, but it's, cast netting is works really well, you know, in water that's pretty clear. You know, in Hawaii they use it because there's not a lot of debris in the water. Mm. Up here, especially in the Cusco, with all the debris in there, that's kind of tricky to do that. You can lose your net pretty fast.
That's right.
It sounds like it's close to dip netting.
It's kind of like a big dip net is what it really is.
Yeah. Now, for dip nets, you know, that's another one. I've seen a couple of people using that, you know, but how about you guys? Are they dip netting?
Dip netting, well, you know, my dad was really good at practicing with those dip nets, and he figured out a couple places here on the Kuskokwim where dip netting became an actual really, really good way of getting some selective fish like reds if you didn't want too many chum, or if we had a release any kings, dip netting was a really good way of allowing to catch those reds. That's what we had put in that proposal, and to allow for dip nets year-round because he saw it as very beneficial in this river, and it seems to work a lot better than it did with any nets or rod and reeling.
And you can use the same dip net that you use for spilts?
Yes, you can, but what this type of salmon, the dip net that he used was a little bit bigger.
Oh.
And he would park his boat like an eddy or in a right off the cutoff bank, and then he would dip net for a couple hours in there.
And then you can pick and choose.
And you can pick and choose what you want.
Ah.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know. Now, for where do you find dip nets?
You can, ONC has some dip nets that they could rent out to you.
Oh.
And then also we have some dip nets here in the store, or you can order them online, or you can get them from Anchorage too.
ONC rents out dip nets. Cool.
I'm not sure how much they have left, but we did definitely had some dip nets for renting out there.
I'd like to try.
Yeah. Makes me curious that big same thing.
Same
I
want
to see that. I want to see how good it works.
I'd like to see somebody somebody talk about that more to safely how we can do it.
Especially someone who's done it before.
Yeah, somebody experienced it, especially along our river, you know, different things you got to consider before you can do that.
Ooh, so. And you catch them alive.
You know, the beach chains actually work the best kind of where there's a sandbar or somewhere where you can get out in there where you don't have a lot of debris to deal with, or where there's a sandy shore. Down here in the lower Kuskokwim, that's pretty hard to find.
Yeah.
Oh.
So further up river is probably a little better.
Yeah.
We talked about that a couple of years ago of what would be a good place kind of in general. And that's kind of what we talked about, was more of a sandy bank or somewhere where it's kind of shallow where you don't have a lot of debris in the water.
So like everything else, I'm sure there's some wrecks you need to look at on that too, right? Or what?
No.
It's just pretty wide open. There's not anything specified on beach chains or dip nets, you know, those sorts of things. So it's pretty wide open for that.
Mm. Wow.
And one of the places that you can, if people really do want to try to work on beach seining, is right across from the mouth of Oscarville Slough. That whole beach right on that bend on Airport Island on the backside of it. Or you can go over by Joe Pete's or right above in that little area right there across from the bluffs.
Yeah, but you said there has to be somebody on the beach, right?
It's a two-person job.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So, I'd be looking at that more, you know, got to figure out which kind of net or, you know, I guess it don't have to be as deep, you know. So I'd be thinking about that. I'd like to try that.
Mm-hmm. Well, a whitefish net works pretty good for a beach seine. That's what we use out in Hooper Bay. Or you can also have, have a stationary on one side, and the person in one boat can be, and then they just wrap around and make a 90-degree.
Yeah. That
seems like that. That would catch
you. That's interesting, yeah. So, and to hold on to that, you probably might need a stick to. Because, you know, I'm just imagining, like you're going to do that, you might need a stick to hold that, into place, right?
Yep. You're going to need one on both ends because you have to have a stick on both sides to hold one side of the net and then hold the other side. Mm-hmm. You have both cork line and lead line on both sides as it wraps around the other side of the beach.
And it seems like you need a strong, young person to be in the boat, you know, not the one standing at the at the beach.
Tying it off to the boat helps.
Okay. Freedom mind, we're going to jump into our next caller. Okay. And we can hold that thought for him.
I had a quick question. Somebody anonymous called in and asked what the opening is tomorrow, 4-inch or 6-inch.
Okay.
For federally qualified users, rural residents, it's 6-inch for the set net. For anybody coming from outside of the Kuskokwim River, they can use a 4-inch net tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right.
And you guys do still have those recordings?
Yes, we're still updating the recording on
Bingo Shan, you pick Hobley?
Yes. Our first note is going to be Yupik first and then English second.
Very good. Do we jump into our next caller from Napakiak? We have...
Alexei.
Good morning, Alexei.
Good morning, Alec.
Yes, I am calling back again.
Yes, good morning.
Is there a lady there that was on your guest there?
Yes, it's Alyssa.
Hi, Alexei.
Hi. Are you from the Fish and Wildlife?
I'm currently working for them, yes.
You're working with them, or are you from...
I'm from Bethel. My mom's from Alaknuk. My dad's from Hooper Bay. I was born and raised here.
Believe me, she looks native.
Okay, I'll take that much work. Is there another person there, too?
And Ray Bourne, the head of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service here in Bethel?
U.S., not federal.
U.S. is federal, yes.
U.S. is federal.
Yeah.
Is it federal, too?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I would like you to be in Yupik Talk Show when they have a Yupik Talk Show card. You have, Lillian is a really good translator. He's number one. Whatever the people call in Yupik Talk Show, she could translate it to you too. Because I'm sure there are a lot of elderly people that are out there that have questions because they cannot speak English fluently like me and you are, and they barely could talk. But it would be nice if you too would be in the Yupik Talk Show. That'd be really great.
You know what, Alexei? They do have Yupik speakers. Chris Tulik and Aaron Moses, who work for the federal U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Yuxtrukanduk.
Oh, I'll bring those two. And bring those two. You know, you'll bring them in and, put them on a native talk show and bring those two there, too. Because I'm sure they have questions for them too, instead of that Native people own, not only him.
Okay.
That would be really great. It'll give a lot of benefit or anything that they want to speak to them, because I'm sure there's a lot of them out there that would have questions towards them.
Good job, Alexei. Yes, thank you. Yes, we're going to keep on going on to our list.
Okay.
From Bethel, we have
Casey.
Good morning, Casey.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Yeah. All right.
I just got a little reminder for what we used to call our Memorial Day garage sale at the fire department, which is now our spring garage sale, is on 2 weeks from Saturday. I believe it's the 22nd. Yes. So just... For people that are interested or wondering what was going on with that, it's going to be on the 22nd. They can call the fire department at 2131 if they'd like to reserve a table. I believe the tables are free. And then, of course, we'll have all sorts of good burgers and brats and stuff like that for sale.
Is that usually done outside?
No, we usually do it inside, but if the... inside the bay there, we take all the trucks out, and we do it inside. If the weather's nice, of course, we'll maybe have some tables set up outside for people to eat at and that sort of thing.
Yes. We also look forward to that event, that we've been kind of keeping our ears open for that one.
Okay, I'll probably call again next week.
All right, do that, please.
Another reminder.
Casey, we appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, we're open. Our lines are open, and the numbers to call are
543-5985.
And 543-2756.
Or toll free at 800-995-8954.
Or email radio@kyuk.org.
And we do have an email. Can I read it real quick?
Yes, go ahead,
please. It's from Richard Robb.
Okay.
I believe it's Rick Robb. And it says, good morning. The Bethel Sportsman Club will be having a top shot shooting competition. Ooh, that's kind of hard to say fast.
Top
on
shot.
Saturday, tomorrow, June 8th, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., there will be an adult and youth category with rifles and pistols. Go to the shooting range in the pit past the airport. Buy a target for $10 and shoot and submit. The shooters with the highest scores will win mystery firearms. Ooh. You can purchase as many targets and as you want. This competition is open to the public. For more information, call Richard at 545-2452. Again, you can call Richard Robb at 545-2452. Thank you and have a great weekend.
Good, yeah.
And that's another good learning thing for the youth, especially.
I'm wondering if you sound like you don't need to be a member of that group.
It doesn't sound like it. Adults and youth are welcome.
And then can you bring your own gun?
You'd want to bring your own weapon, yes,
yeah,
to fire there.
Yes. You got to. Yeah, okay. Because I didn't know what their guidelines are, you know.
I've never heard of that, but I've heard of some kind of contest being held at the sandpit. But it sounds like that's
a good thing, another event for Bethel.
Yeah, and it helps teach the youth safety stuff.
Yeah,
safety
very
with
good
firearms.
Job. While we're on a pause, I want to know if any of you have a comment.
Oh, you know, Susan mentioned the Adapt YK workshop.
Yeah.
She asked me to talk about that briefly. It's a process where we got together with a bunch of people from the Yukon Delta to talk about climate change and how we can adapt. And we narrowed it down to three areas to look at. One is food preservation. And Aaron Motz has been working really hard the last couple of years to figure out ways we can preserve the fish that we're able to gather, you know, with the changing climate. You know, as everybody talks about, it's raining earlier, it's wetter. What are some other techniques? So he's gathering information on that. We look at infrastructure. We're worried about erosion and things like that. So Corps of Engineers is kind of leading that working group, if you will, to talk about that. And then we're talking about trails and travel. As we're seeing the snow is going away, we need to figure out better ways, better trails, better travel.
Yes.
And myself and Jennifer Hooper from AFUCP is heading up that working group. The intent is to have kind of a workshop later this fall, sometime where the public's invited to talk about what did we come up with, what did we think, and maybe discuss ways we can go forward. So that'll be coming up real soon, and a lot of people are involved with that in the process throughout the Delta. So one of those other projects I get to work on.
Yes.
Are you guys still traveling to the villages and talking to the people?
We try not to go to more than two villages a week.
But you still are traveling.
We still travel every week. Yeah, we do one to two. Typically, Chris Tulik will go out with myself or Aaron Moses and Gary DeCosis, my fisheries biologist. We've been to villages this week, so that's kind of our normal run size.
All right. How about you?
I just wanted to invite the community to the Kuskokwim River for the first annual celebration of salmon on June 21st. This gathering is an opportunity for public to meet the Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Team and discuss management strategies, overviews, and research projects. We're also going to be having a barbecue at lunchtime. We're going to be grilling some salmon and having some vegetables and potatoes.
And the date again?
June 21st.
Okay,
the longest day of the year.
Friday, right?
Yes, that's on Friday.
I think that's a good idea. You get to meet the working group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Salmon
Magic. And I heard somewhere that they're having a working group meeting coming up.
We're going to be having a working group meeting on the 14th.
Okay.
Which
at
is
10 a.m. It's a Friday.
Next Friday at the Fish and Game Office.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game Office, right across where the old Kilbuck School used to be.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now this opener coming up tomorrow, you know, it's a set net opportunity, 6 inch or less, but no drifting though, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct, no drifting for the opener tomorrow.
Okay, and then but the next two or three
Yeah, the next three openers will be June 12th, 15th, and 19th. Those are Drift and SetNet opportunities, 6-inch or less mesh, same as we did last year. And those time frames will be from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for all those three opportunities for drifting coming up. So people asked last year, can we have more predictability? Can we plan on this? So we came up with this discussion based upon science as to what do we think we can do and not harm the run size so everybody has an opportunity for some fish.
I think people heard a little while ago about that beach inning, and then now everybody's out on the river.
See, working the beach inning, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the calling, maybe. But we do have a few more minutes left, about 5 minutes, you know, but a minute before, you know, we'll probably wrap up, you know, our show. And then, but, yeah, we got 3 minutes, you know, so you have time. Anybody like to make a call? You know, you got a little bit of time
a
left,
quick
you
call.
Know. Yeah, so, but it's been time went fast.
Yeah, you know? Lots yeah. of interesting yeah. stuff too.
Yes, very much, you know, and we're really pleased that we had these two special guests
yeah.
with us today. You know,
it helps just, when there's people here that,
yeah.
you know, it so we don't go blind.
Yeah,
this is Ray. I really appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk with everybody. This is my
yeah.
best way to let people know what's going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can ask me questions.
We appreciate yes. that.
Yes, you know, I think this year, more than ever before, you know, I'm starting to get like a friendly, welcomed relationship with Fish and Wildlife. In the past, all I seen was a badge, you know, and a gun, you know. but I'm learning a lot of things and myself, even mm-hmm. at my age, you know, I'm appreciative of what I'm learning, and you know, it's gonna be good, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a good partnership, you know, with Fish and Wildlife Service, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and everybody here on the Delta. We're all after the same thing. We all want fish for future generations. It's just
yes.
how we get there. We have different views on that.
Very
we need
good.
To come
yes.
together. It's the best way forward.
Good
so we're working
job.
On that really hard. Thanks.
I want to fish for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Yay, that's the one.
Yeah.
And you, finally, comments?
Yeah, thank you very much for having us. This was greatly appreciate being here.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to say thank you to all of the subsistence users and all the everyone on the Yukon and Coastal Crew Rivers.
Yeah.
Your sacrifices for the future conservation of the salmon has made some definite efforts and
yeah.
has been working. So continue up the good work,
good.
And I greatly appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
Good job. And then if it's okay with you, you know, one of our UFIC speakers that work for you, we'd like to have him as a guest maybe next week on Thursday at 10 o'clock. And then, so we can talk a little bit more because there's a lot of questions
yeah.
and comments.
Yeah.
So.
We have it in his calendar to be here every Thursday or
okay.
be on the phone.
Cool.
All right, very good. So today, you know, we had an array of calls. And then there wasn't as many as we normally would have because people were listening to what you two had to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of good comments today. And then we just wanted to wish everyone a happy fishing season.
Hope you catch lots.
Yes, and be safe. Wear your life coats and be kind to each other.
And
thank
I'm
you
sure
very
the
much.
Women are itching to catch fish.
Amen. Okay.
And revelatory interviews with probing questions and unusual insights. Fresh Air Weekends on KYUK, Saturday at 6 a.m.
When we see alcohol abuse in our community as teenagers,
we feel
scared, tempted,
angry,
sad.
When
we see alcohol abuse in our community as teenagers,
we worry about
my sister and her baby,
my nieces and nephews,
our families,
my friends and their studies at school,
and our ability to become community leaders
or wise elders.
When we see alcohol abuse in our community as teenagers,
we are concerned because this year in the U.S.,
almost 5,000 young people will die while engaging in underage drinking.
Over 2,700 infants will be born with fatal alcohol syndrome. And more than 2 million people will suffer from alcohol-related liver disease.
Please help stop alcohol abuse in our community by talking with your friends and family about alcohol's devastating effects.
This public service announcement was brought to you by the members of Teens Acting Against Violence at the Tundra Women's Coalition.
This is Samuel Kim. I listen to KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska on the internet at kyuk.org.
Good afternoon. This is Annie Cochran and Clara Tnuchuk from the YQ Delta Job Center. We will be highlighting some recent job openings here in Bethel and throughout the YK Delta. And as always, you may stop in or call the Job Center at 907-543-2210 or 1-800-478-2210 for more job search assistance. First, here are some Job Center announcements. The regular hours for the YK Delta Job Center are from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Our resource room is self-service on Tuesday and Thursday from 10 to 12. The Alaska State Defense Force, ASDF, is in the process of establishing detachments and communities throughout the YK Delta region with the battalion headquarters in Bethel. The current commander is Major Alan Alicknar. For more information on how to join the ASDF or how to establish a detachment in your community, please contact Major Alan Alicknar at 907-543-7512. The following are recent posted positions in Bethel. Alaska Army National Guard is hiring for Army National Guard soldiers. Alaska Commercial Company is seeking for the following positions: bakery, deli, department manager in training, grocery manager, general merchandise department manager in training, and a meat manager. Alaska USA is looking for a financial services representative. Alaska Village Electric Cooperative is looking for a diesel mechanic. AVCP is hiring for the following: staff accountant 2, staff accountant 1, receptionist on call, grants and compliance accountant, social worker, ICWA advocate 2, grants and compliance accountant 2, IT help desk, self-governance coordinator, archaeologist, assistant director, grants and compliance, child development mental health coordinator, support facilitator, child care intake specialist, elder facilitator, resource coordinator, realty specialist, chief financial officer, janitor, shipping and receiving tech 1, construction division director, associate general counsel, maintenance 1, NVR transition specialist. AVCP Regional Housing Authority is looking for a maintenance counselor. Bethel Family Clinic is hiring for an on-call maintenance worker, medical assistant, licensed practical nurse, and a registered nurse. City of Bethel is hiring for the following: utility maintenance worker, recruits and lateral police officers, firefighter, Hall's utility truck driver, temporary worker for landfill, ledger accountant, and a mechanic, too. Crowley is hiring for part-time administrator. Delta Western is looking for a billing clerk. Denali General Contractors is hiring for commercial construction superintendent. Donnellan Gold is looking for a summer intern. GCI is hiring for a specialist and customer experience. Geo Group is hiring for a part-time cook and maintenance worker technician. Grant Aviation is hiring pilots in command for C-207, G-88, C-208, PA-31, and looking for customer service agents. Connect Construction Company, Incorporated, is hiring for 2 construction truck drivers, flaggers, and labor construction. LKSD is hiring for the following: electrical specialist, intensive need aid, custodians, both full and part-time, interpreter for the deaf, teacher's aide, accounting specialist, network manager, and Gladys Jung is hiring for media library specialists. They are also looking for a school and community advocate, elementary youth culture instructor, and a special education teacher for Bethel Youth Facilities. ONC is hiring for a carpenter, juvenile healing to wellness worker, and a senior services director. Raven Air is hiring for aircraft mechanic technician. ResCare is looking for a caregiver home health aide. Tender Woman's Coalition is hiring for a children's advocate. Dunista Inc. is hiring for a temporary junior laborer. University of Alaska is hiring for the following: community prevention research coordinator, temporary technical season library assistant, temporary clerical for 4-H, cook full-time, assistant program administrator, Stockton Hall relief cook, student assistant C, temporary faculty credit, temporary faculty non-credit, temporary professional casual for a mental health professional, temporary service instructional support and building monitor, temporary technical research aide, assistant professor of medical surgical nursing, resident assistant student B. The U.S. Census is hiring for field representatives. YKHC, Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation, is recruiting for over 200 positions located in Bethel and in the surrounding villages. These positions can be found by logging on to ykhc.org. The following are recently posted positions in the YK Delta. Alaska Commercial Company is looking for a manager in training and a supervisor front end in Aniak. Atna Environmental Incorporation is hiring for a part-time janitor located in McGrath. AVCP is hiring tribal administrator in Alaralak, Aboriginal Equal Worker in Hooper Bay, St. Mary's in Tuxuk Bay, tribal bookkeeper and lead home visitor in Dundudula, Head Start teacher in Scammon Bay, Equal Worker in Pitka's Point and Imangak, case manager in Atmoshok, construction superintendent in Nabagahak. VPSOs are needed in the following villages: Katlik, Imangak, Alaganak, Nunam Iqbal, Gishunak, Tununak, Makorik, Ipnak, Gwiginuk, Ganiganak, Duntutulak, Gwinahak, Nunapichok, Atmashok, Akachok, Akak, Tuluksak, Lower Kalskag, Upper Kalskag, Joachbalak, Kreetmut, Russian Mission, Marshall, St. Mary's, Pitka's Point, and Mountain Village. AVCP Regional Housing Authorities is informing its Mechanic Village Rental Program in Kotlik. Jalista Inc. is looking for a labor in Joachbalak. Crowley is looking for a foreman in Aniak. CVRF is hiring for the following: Mechanic Boulder 2 in Quinahawk, On-Call Mechanic Boulder in Nabuskak, Duntudulak, Nuchduk, Ik, and Tuksuk Bay. Part-time Community Service Representatives in Nabuskak, Ganganak, Duntudulak, Ipnuk, Platinum, Eek, Goodness Bay, Hooper Bay, Nightmoot, Tuksuk Bay. Full-time community service representatives in Ipnuk, Good News Bay, Tuksuk Bay. Part-time service writers in Eek and Hooper Bay. LKC is hiring for the following in the villages: elementary fifth grade teacher in Agula, assistant site administrator in Ipnuk, special education teacher in Ganganak, social worker and kindergarten teacher in Guisluk, assistant site administrator in Quinahuk, middle school generalist in Duntudula. Raven is hiring for a part-time rapper in Aniak. The U.S. Census is hiring for field representatives in your local community. There are many other current openings in various agriculture and seafood processing companies across our great state of Alaska. These can be viewed at jobs.alaska.gov. For additional information on job openings, training assistance, and daily workshops offered in Bethel and available to our surrounding villages by Skype, resume, cover letter, application assistance, and additional services provided, please feel free to visit us at the YK Delta Job Center located at the BNC Complex, or you may call 543-2210. And if you're outside the Bethel area, give us a call at 1-800-478-2210 or visit our website at jobs.alaska.gov. Thank you and have a nice day.
Since that girl's been gone, was it me?